Turn with me to the New Testament book of James as we continue reading our New Testament here in 2014. We're getting towards the end. And I am going to read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Just four little verses out of the book of James. And if you have your place, let me say amen. Oh, gee. How many times have I did this? 7 years and I got it wrong. All right, let's try this again. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
There you go. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And God's word says this. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And we'll stop right there. Now let's go to God in prayer. Father, it's just a couple quick verses out of this small little book here in the back of the Bible, but it's still your word, and your word still transforms, and we want to be transformed by your word here today, Lord. What is it that we need to take away from this? What do we need to learn? How do we grow? How do we become mature? And Father, just send your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us to convict us wherever we need that conviction, Lord. And may this message that I speak be holy and pleasing to you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I have no notes today because I'm just going to speak something that has been on my heart since a few days ago. I had a message all planned. It was written. I even practiced it twice. We'll do it next year sometime. The reason for the change is this. Late last week, I had a conversation with a person, a friend of mine. And after that conversation was over, I knew that I had to change what I needed to speak about. And I'll just be honest with you here this morning, my friends. Our conversation, I got totally frustrated. And I guess I'm going to use you kind of as a sounding board here this morning. And you're going to listen to my frustrations. And I hope that's okay. But I want to let you know this ahead of time. I could guarantee that what I'm about to say doesn't apply to probably any of you in here. This message isn't for you. But I guarantee this message this morning is for somebody you know. Okay? So we'll just go with that. So you can tell that person that you feel like, I think this message is for them, that sometime this week I'll have this message up on the Beech Grove website and they can listen to it. But to start off my frustrations, I got to give you an analogy, a little story that kind of helps pave the way. And I'm going to make up a totally hypothetical situation. Let's say this. Gail and I, did I lose my wife? Is she here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's in there. She's in that way. Okay. Let's say this. Gail and I have a favorite restaurant. Okay? We like to go to ABC restaurant. The food is good there. The prices are reasonable. It's not that far away from our house. And over the years, Gail and I have got to know the waiters and the waitresses, And we've also got to know the owners of the restaurant. We like going there. It's a good place to go. And we frequent the place. Well, one day, we open up the newspaper and we read that there have been some underhanded things that have happened at that restaurant by the owners. They have been brought in on certain felony charges. And I'll let you fill in the blank what the felony charges are because I'm making this whole situation up. But that disturbs us. This is our favorite restaurant. We like these people. Every time we go there, they come over and they converse with us. And they talk with us. And we trusted them. But they have been brought under these charges to which they are pleading guilty. And Gail and I look at each other and we say, could that really, were they talking about the same people? How could this possibly have happened? These people have become friends of ours over all these years. And now this? How could this possibly have happened? So Gail and I make the decision, as Christians, we just can't tolerate this happening. And so we make the decision, we're just not going to go back to that restaurant any longer. Remember that story, because I'll make the analogy here in a second. Now, here's where I start getting frustrated. This past week, I had a conversation with a friend. I will not give out any names because I won't do that. And I'm going to try to describe this person's, his situation as best as possible. It's this. This man was married for many, many years, 20-some years. Good Christian man. Good Christian family. Christian spouse, the kids. Everybody goes to church. All go to the same church. If you were going to look up to a couple as an example of what Christians should be like, a good Christian family, these people would come to your mind. They were pillars of the church. You could always go to them. They were very influential in the church. They helped out. They were part of many, many different organizations within the church that they attended. And then I have a conversation with this man, and he says that something happened about 5 years ago, and that for some reason his wife wants a divorce, as he said, this come out of left field. Where's this coming from? And I'm thinking the same thing. Where's this coming from? To make a long story short, the couple ends up getting divorced. The children, there's several children involved, and now they're wondering what happened. You have a church full of people wondering what happened. And I know these things do happen in churches. Churches are not made up of perfect people, are they? We're not. We're here because we're not perfect people. And it's really not that part of the situation that frustrates me, although a part of it does. I often wonder, how can Christian couples who know the Word of God and who have been Christians for a long time end up this way? And I just throw up my hands in surprise. But the frustrating part came when I had a conversation with him just this past week. How are you doing? He's no longer attending church. Why should I attend church? He says. The people there just let you down. What about your children? What? My children? Look what they saw. They saw mom and dad break apart. Do you think they go to church? They don't go to church. And their kids don't go to church. This man is a grandfather. So you have this husband and wife no longer go to church because they want to blame church people for what they did. Their kids don't go to church. Now there's no spiritual background at all. And on top of that, they're mad at God because He let it all happen. And I'm listening, being a part of this conversation, thinking, first thing I thought was, I need to change my sermon. Because I need to go back here to James chapter 1, and where it says this, we're faced with trials, aren't we? Trials come into our life all the time. I know that people are in hospitals, and there's deaths in families, and even people do things like get divorced, even Christian couples. And I know that these are trials. But what are trials supposed to do? Drive you away from church? Drive you away from God? My frustration is this. What is the maturity level of Christians today? We should look at a situation that happens in our lives. I'll be honest with you. I'm not thrilled to death that I'm half blind right now. And I'm not thrilled to death that some of you have friends and family, and some of you have been spending time in hospitals and have physical things going on. These are trials. But what do they make us do? And I look at this man and I say, what happened to you? You were a pillar of the church. Well, the church let me down. Can I say this? There's a whole bunch of us in here today. Look around you. Look at the different people in here. Okay? There's a lot of us. Men, women, babies, younger people, whatever. We're quite a variety, aren't we? And none of us are perfect. And we all have the potential of letting the next person down. Because that's what people do. We let other people down. But my frustration is this. If people in a certain church let you down, there's another church down the road. Why don't you try that one? Do you just give up? Do you just give up on church? I thought we come to church to worship God. Not come to church to make friends and make sure that everyone around us treats us okay. And I don't understand it. Sure, the church down the road or across the mountain, that church is going to have imperfect people in it too, right? We're not perfect people. But what's our mindset? Is our mindset that I come into a church because I'm grieving from what happened at the last church? Do I come into this next church and say, I wonder who's going to let me down at this next church? I wonder if it's going to be him. I wonder if it's going to be her. I wonder if it's going to be the pastor. Or do we maybe have a bad experience at a church and say, I'm going to try somewhere else because I know this. I go to church to worship God, number one, first and foremost. And number two, how can God use me somewhere else to make that church stronger than what it already is? Not I'm going to go to that other church and see who's going to bring me down. I thought my friend was a mature Christian. And I was very disappointed that he no longer goes nowhere. And what do the children do? They look at mom and dad. What do mom and dad do? They're not going anywhere. Why should I go anywhere? There's no encouragement there anymore. And then he tells me that he and his children are all blaming God. Well, why not? There's got to be a bad guy here somewhere, doesn't there? Why not God? Oh, it's not the husband and the wife who couldn't work things out the way they were supposed to as a Christian couple. No, it's got to be God's fault because he, quote unquote, allows it to happen. Well, you know, we haven't changed much from Genesis chapter 3, have we? Genesis chapter 3. Adam, where are you? Did you eat of that fruit of that tree that I told you not to eat from? Well, you know, God, if you wouldn't have given me that woman, it wouldn't have happened. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? And I couldn't believe it when this Christian friend of mine not only gives up on church, but he gives up on God, and he's blaming God. And I'm looking at him just kind of scratching my head saying, I thought we were supposed to become mature in our trials. That it's supposed to promote and increase the perseverance that we have. Trials are going to do one of two things, my friends. Either they're going to draw you to God, or they're going to push you away from God. And what direction you end up going is going to tell me what you think about God and what your maturity level is as a Christian. Even if you are a Christian at all. I listen to my friend, and I'm just wondering, and I'm getting frustrated. Try out another church. If there were people there, if there were leaders there, whoever it was, that may have been involved in some way, shape, or form, who cares about the details? At least go somewhere else. Go into that church. Help make that church strong. Have God use you to plant you in there and heal you. Because this family needs a whole lot of healing right about now. And sure, there might be a time down the road where they'll look back at all this and say, you know, I think I made a serious mistake. And I certainly hope that's the case. But for right now, I'm frustrated. So what do we do, folks? What do we do when we have trials in our lives? You know, this whole book of James is a test of faith. Do you really have faith, saving faith, in the God that you serve and in the Christ who died for you? And James is going through it chapter after chapter, verse after verse, and saying, how about this? How about this? How about this? Because this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Have you tamed your tongue? Have you done this? Have you blah, blah, blah? And he keeps on going on and on and on. And it comes down to this. Who are you really? Is your faith genuine? And I walked away from that conversation with my friend with my hands up in the air saying, you know what? I thought I knew this guy. And now I wonder if I really do. Is his Christianity real? James, he pulls no punches. He starts right off and says, consider it what? Pure joy, my brothers, whoever, when you're faced with trials of many different types. Pure joy. I'll be honest with you, I've never gone through a divorce. Maybe some of you have. It's got to be ugly. And I don't ever want to have to walk that walk, ever. But somewhere after that, I have to say, God did not cause my divorce to happen. Amen. My own sinful nature did that all by its little old self. Okay, it's done. It's over with. It's been nailed to the cross. And now what am I going to do? James says this. If you're a Christian, this is what you're going to do. You're going to pull yourself up. you're going to get right with God, and you're going to look at this, and you're going to use it as a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. You're going to get back into a church. You're going to tell your kids, you guys better get back into church, and you're going to start this thing all over again, because that's what Christians do. They don't say, whoa, whoa is me, and then go shacking up with some other girl, and then just blowing the whole Christian thing off. Oh, I'm happier now than what I've always been. No, you're not. You're absolutely miserable if you're a Christian and you know it. Trials. Trials are going to happen in our lives, my friends. Consider pure joy when trials happen. Because we have a God, we have a Savior who walks us through those trials, through those times, and so often we all know they're not very pleasant. Are they? They're not. But he says this, because you know that the testing of your faith, because that's what's happening, develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work. Perseverance is just that. It keeps on going. It keeps on going. Our faith keeps on growing. It keeps on growing. It doesn't stagnate and stop and then just drop off the face of the earth. It must finish the work so we may become mature. That's what I want Beach Grovers to be. Mature Christians. Not Christians who give up at every whim. Who say, you know what, trials might hit me. Trials might come into my life. And trials will come into your life. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's tests that are allowed to happen in our lives that test our faith. What are we made of? And I'm praying for my friend and I'm praying for his family that somewhere along the line that they're going to pick up and move on in the right direction. But my friends, I just have to be totally honest with you. I'm frustrated that people who you think are strong Christians can be failures. And I have to ask myself, is that really what you want to be anyways? Is that where you'd rather be on a Sunday morning? At bed? Getting caught up on ESPN with the football? Wherever it may be? Trials might come into my life, my friends, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll be at a church somewhere. And as long as I'm here at Beach Grove Church, there's no place I'd rather be than right here, not only with you folks, but worshiping the God that I serve. And I know he throws stuff at me, and I'm not real happy about this eye, but it's either going to do one of two things. It either draws me closer or it pushes me away. And I really like where my relationship with God is right now. It's tighter than what it's ever been. Because that's what trials do. Thank you for listening. I now have that off my shoulders. I feel a whole lot better. And the next time you have trials, remember, it's for perseverance, testing our faith. Let's win the test. Let's pass the test. Amen? When the restaurant disappointed Gail and I in this imaginary story that I made up, that doesn't mean that I will never go to another restaurant again, does it? I'll find another restaurant that I'll be glad to go to on Friday nights or whenever we go. I'm not going to quit going out. I like going to restaurants. And as far as giving up on God, would I give up on food? Don't think so. And that's the analogy. I'm sorry, I forgot to put it in there. The restaurant analogy. I don't give up on restaurants. There's other good ones out there. And I'll go start visiting them. And I'm certainly not going to give up on the food. The food sustains me. the God that I serve sustains me. So with that, let us stand and we'll sing our closing hymn, hymn number 271, which is,
Joyful,
Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You.